This is Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us on the hotline right now from Fightful.com, he's the managing editor, he's Sean Ross Sapp. Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you joining us today, Sean. So some big news came out of the WWE Universe over the weekend, and that is Hulk Hogan actually exists again. Is this the right time to bring Hulk Hogan back into the fold for WWE?
I don't know if there's ever really a right time. You're going to get this backlash no matter when it was. I talked to a lot of people backstage, a lot of people who were in the meeting that Hogan had where he addressed the talent, and I was told it was kind of 50-50, that he got a nice reaction and stuff, but that many of these guys are going to address the issues that they have with him individually. They will address it individually, but he hit the bricks like halfway through the show and was out of there.
Well, is that an issue that he left the show early? I mean, it's not like he's part of the show or anything, but you mentioned that there are a lot of wrestlers who were in there. By all reports, he got a good reaction to his addressing them, and I guess they've been working on this for a while now. Is the overwhelming idea that, hey, the guy deserves another chance?
I wouldn't say the overwhelming idea. I mean, there are definitely people with that sentiment, and they have been working on this for quite a while. And, I mean, I think a lot of it didn't resonate well with the roster because there were cameras all over the place. They were filming it for a documentary in the future, and, you know, WWE's trying. They tried to really put out there, Hogan doesn't have a deal. Hogan doesn't have a deal. He's got a deal with him. He's got an agreement with him. They don't want him popping up for anybody else. I don't think it's a coincidence that they brought Hogan in the week after another company announced they were running an MSG show. So they were quick to bring him back after that, and he did nothing but make good impressions, although, or I don't want to say that. He did nothing but help the impressions that he made, but there were some people that maybe thought it wasn't genuine, but you're going to have that no matter what.
Sean, when you say that, you know, I guess there's a little split there about those who are, you know, really genuine and accepting Hogan back and those who maybe are skeptical, is that something more along the lines of the older guys in the room are more accepting and the younger guys in the room are not, or the other way around?
I wouldn't say that it was definitely – it wasn't an age thing. It was really a mixed bag, honestly. There was no demographic that I could target. I mean, I spoke to minorities on the roster. I spoke to white guys on the roster, young guys, old guys, and girls, too. And it was a mixed bag all around. And they said the speech was what you would expect. It's just, you know, people are going to feel how they feel. I don't think Titus O'Neil made it any secret. He was on Instagram liking comments where people were kind of disparaging Hogan. So, I mean, I think that's the only one that's really spoken out publicly, or at least made something known in that regard publicly.
Now, you know, Booker T, WWE Hall of Famer, he's said, you know, everybody deserves a second chance. You know, Booker very famously dropped that word on Hulk Hogan in a promo on live TV. So, you know, if anybody knows the impact of that language, and what it can do to you, I think Booker is a perfect example of a guy who understands that completely. Is his support of Hogan something that's very important for Hogan?
I think it's more of Mark Henry's support. Mark Henry's support and at least pushing Hogan to have the meeting, that was most important because Mark Henry is a, not to say Booker T's not respected in the locker room, but he's not been in the locker room nearly as much. Mark Henry has been a guy that almost every single generation of wrestler that would be on this roster has had some sort of interaction with on a pretty frequent basis. I mean, he's been there for 22 years running, never left. So I think the fact that Mark Henry was willing to at least give Hogan a chance definitely opened up some eyes and opened up some minds as well.
Talking with Sean Ross Sapp, managing editor of Fightful.com. And Sean, last night, I guess there was a promo cut by Kurt Angle where they're kind of calling Brock Lesnar out, and it's the first time I guess they've really addressed the elephant in the room, which is Brock Lesnar going back to UFC. Where now we've seen WWE allow Lesnar to fight in UFC before, you know, we had that whole Mark Hunt disaster where a roided up Brock Lesnar won a fight. This time he's got to get off the juice if he's going to fight Daniel Cormier. Is that something where do you see that the relationship of Lesnar and WWE maybe coming to a head? I mean, especially if somehow Lesnar wins the title.
The thing that I had always heard, dating back to 2016, that the deal originally was that Lesnar could go and do this, but WWE would freeze his contract. And the irony was, WWE had no plans to use him during the time that he took off for that fight anyway. He still showed up the next month, worked SummerSlam. That pushed his deal through this summer. Now, there's been a lot of talk about Brock re-signing a deal and how long it is. With Brock Lesnar and the WWE, it's really hard to decipher what is real and what is fiction and what is storyline and what WWE is trying to work, because that's the thing that they love to do. They love to work people who think that they're not being worked. So, and as we saw in 2004, Brock Lesnar doesn't really care that much about contracts. So it's tough to say, because Brock Lesnar, if he decided 1 week after the Cormier fight, oh, well, I want to wrestle on SmackDown Live next Tuesday against Heath Slater, WWE is going to make it happen. They're going to do what he wants in that regard. So I think that relationship continues as long as Brock Lesnar wants it to continue, and WWE will pay whatever price that that he wants, essentially.
Poor Heath Slater, always getting slammed around.
And Brock Lesnar doesn't care about his kids.
So, no, not about Heath Slater's kids. He does not.
Yeah, confirmed.
Hey, Sean, with Lesnar going to back to UFC and, you know, the whole WWE-style promo that he and Cormier cut after Cormier defeated Stipe Miocic, is this really, like, the best fight for UFC? I mean, how do you sell the idea for a company that's always, you know, okay, these are our rankings, these are the top-rated guys. If you're Miocic and you're like, okay, every champion who loses their belt gets a rematch, why don't I? If you are a legitimate top five contender looking for a title fight and you're leapfrogged by a guy that hasn't won a fight in UFC that was an actual legit, really sanctioned fight, not one where they gave him a steroid waiver, in 8 years.
Yeah.
Is this the best fight for UFC? Are they basically ticking off the entire division by saying, we're going to put Brock Lesnar in here against, you know, Daniel Cormier, who's one of the, you know, one of the greatest competitors in UFC history?
Well, that's multi-layered, but yeah, I can tell you, I know that Curtis Blaydes is upset because as soon as he got off of his plane from Las Vegas, he hit up James Lynch of Fightful.com and was like, I want to do an interview right now. I'm going to rip Brock Lesnar a new one. He's very unhappy, and he has earned a title shot himself. Then you're Stipe Miocic, and you look at Cody Garbrandt, who lost his title, never defended it. Oh, and he gets an immediate rematch. Meanwhile, Stipe Miocic is the most successful on paper heavyweight ever, and he doesn't get one. Yeah, that causes some issues. Then you've got Volkov, who weighed in as the backup for Cormier versus Miocic. They don't know what they're doing with him right now. The UFC rankings, the funny thing is Fox is the one that wanted to push. They wanted UFC rankings, and now I think it'd be hard for UFC to do away with because they use it as such a promotional tool. As far as the UFC goes, I hate to say it, but it is the best fight. They're a company that struggled to get over 400,000 buys on a show this year. No McGregor. Rousey's long gone. GSP's on another hiatus. John Jones is suspended. And you even have your lesser guys like an Anderson Silva. He's not walking through that door. So this is going to do over 1 million buys. And Lesnar isn't getting a waiver this time. The only reason he got a waiver last time is because when he left the UFC, there was no USADA in place. He had never contractually agreed to that. He had never been a part of that. So they were able to treat him as a new signing, just like anybody else that came in and hadn't agreed to USADA. Well, he's done that since then, and he voluntarily left the USADA pool and did it on a suspension. So while he got that waiver, and it was justifiable at the time, certainly not in retrospect since he failed, he ain't getting that waiver again either. So the UFC probably isn't cracking 400,000 pay-per-view buys at all this year, unless maybe there's a show that I'm not remembering that did over 400,000 this year.
Is that why the Cyborg-Nunes fight is being pushed for that last show of the year?
I would say so, yeah. I would say that's a good reason. And it's probably the best fight for Cyborg. It might be her last fight in the UFC because she's going to play hardball in her negotiations. And I think UFC knows she's going to play hardball in her negotiations because her management is traditionally very tough to deal with and really a hurdle on social media, especially if you see how her account is handled, for one. But they probably think that Amanda Nunes stands the best chance of beating her. And they probably see more of an upside in Amanda Nunes than Chris Cyborg. So I got to think that UFC wants Nunes to win that fight, too.
I was just going to ask you, is it like end of days if Cyborg just demolishes Lioness? Now, she's a much bigger fighter. I mean, nobody is as big as Cyborg is in any woman's division. Nobody under a UFC contract is anywhere near her size. And if she winds up going in, you know, after they hit weight and then she puts back on 15, 20 pounds, like, she could literally outweigh Amanda Nunes by 20 pounds while fighting her.
I mean, look at it this way. Bellator's champion, Julia Budd, who defended her title, same weight division as Cyborg. Amanda Nunes ran through her in 14 seconds. Ronda Rousey ran through her in 40 seconds. So that's the state of the division elsewhere. She's improved a lot since then, but if Cyborg runs over Nunes, you know, you're going to have all those people that say, oh, well, what does the 135-pound title mean? Meanwhile, Cyborg's competing in a celebrity division. There aren't, like, this abundance of women's 145-pound fighters out there for the UFC to pick from. The division barely exists anywhere. The talent is not there. There are not many good fighters there, so they have to employ this method. And I do fear what it would do for the bantamweight division moving forward. It's short on contenders as is, so.
And she can barely get to 145.
Yeah. If you are a contender at 135, you are automatically a contender at 145 because they just cherry pick. Kat Zingano hasn't won a fight didn't win a fight from 2014 until this Saturday, and you still had people talking about her challenging Cyborg. That's the sad state of the lack of a 145-pound division in women's MMA.
Sean Ross Sapp, managing editor at Fightful.com, covering UFC, covering boxing, covering WWE, and pretty much any kind of combat sport with us on the hotline. Last one for you real quick here. Manny Pacquiao gets a victory and wins a welterweight title. And I know the WBA welterweight title is currently split right now. But really, Manny Pacquiao showed some hand speed and power that we probably haven't seen from him in 9 years. Is it a flash in the pan, or is the new training with Manny Pacquiao kind of gotten him back on the road to being something like he used to be? I don't think we'll ever see vintage prime Pacquiao, but he looked closer to prime Pacquiao over the weekend than he has at any time in the last 6 years.
Yeah, this is a far cry from the Jeff Horn fight, that's for sure. And I think no matter what, it's good for boxing to have Manny Pacquiao doing good. If he fights a guy like Terrence Crawford, it'll look like a flash in the pan, but I don't know if it is. It's really tough for me to say. But yeah, he looked really good, and that's the most buzz I've heard from out of boxing in the last several weeks. They've struggled to put a couple of big fights together, and, well, you know, Triple G Canelo's finally going to come together, but boxing needs this. They need this, and I think that boxing is in a healthier space right now, and Manny Pacquiao being in that space really helps them.
Sean Ross Sapp, managing editor, Fightful.com. Follow him on Twitter at Sean Ross Sapp. Appreciate your time, buddy. Great stuff. We'll catch up soon.
Thank you very much.
All right, Sean Rossap, managing editor at Fightful.com, joining us on the hotline.